Our first reading today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 11 through 12. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. Our second reading is from 1 John chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. And our final reading is from Matthew chapter 12, verse 50. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Pastor Mindy, if I've not met you yet, and I am super excited for our third week of this series, Pursuing God's Will Together. But before we get too deep into our sermon, I do want to give you just a little, PSA about what's coming up in the life of our church. So I know that you heard just a little snippet of this in the announcement video, but if you've been sort of tracking along with us, you might be like, ooh, it sounds like our plan for two services has changed slightly, and you would be correct. So I want to give you some updates on that so you make sure that you're in the right place at the right time. So February 1st, that was our original launch date of two services. We are going to have one service here at 11 a.m. I told everyone last week, what you're doing right now, just do that again on February 1st, and you got it. You don't have to change a thing. February 8th is where things start to get a little bit interesting. So we very quickly realized as we were planning this series, as we heard from Ruth Haley Barton that she could come and preach at St. Luke's, that we had a timing problem and that everyone at our 9 a.m. service would miss her message because North Indy starts at 9:30. And so we said, okay, what's a way that we can both honor this guest speaker and do something that is awesome? And so what we decided that we're going to do is everyone on February 8th is going to worship at North Indy. So I love you, but don't come here because I won't be here to greet you. But where I will be is at North Indy. So I'm going to be in the 11 a.m. contemporary service. Beck and some of our Midtown band is going to be leading in that service along with our North Indy band. It's a really unique moment to get to worship together as one church. It probably not going to happen again for a minute. So I encourage you, come on the 8th. I'll be sending out in my biweekly email that I send a lot more concrete details. So if you don't get that email, let me know, and I'll figure out how you can get that email, because I'm not tech great. But I'll figure it out, because I want to make sure you know what's going on the 8th. And then, drum roll. Okay, I'm going to get you excited. On February 15th, that's when we launch our two services at 9 and 11 a.m. So it's going to be a great month. There's going to be a lot of exciting stuff happening. Like you heard in the announcements, if you've still not signed up to be part of that launch and you've been thinking about it, you're a little bit on the fence, this is a great time to say, oh, yeah, I'll do that. We need support at 9. We need support at 11. Maybe you've been attending here for a while and you've not quite gotten involved with serving regularly. This is such a great time to make that commitment. And so you can sign up at the table out in the gathering area. You can talk to me. But I'm just so grateful for all of you that have signed up, for all the ways that you're praying and supporting as our community continues to grow. So with that, let's pray, and then we'll get into our message together. God, I am just week after week so full of gratitude for the people that fill this room, for the way that this community serves, for the way, God, that you meet us in this place and remind us of your love and your kindness and your grace. I pray today that you would meet us in those places again. I pray that we would be open to whatever you have to teach us, and that we would remember, Lord, that you are our God, you are our safe place, you are our dear friend. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, today, as we go into our third week of this sermon series, today we're going to be talking about some of the foundational beliefs that we want to build our practice of discernment on. Discernment is really our focus for this whole series, but what do we need to know? What do we need to believe so that we can practice discernment in a good, healthy, life-giving way? Now, I'm going to be very honest with you. Talking about discerning God's will feels like an exceptionally tricky task. We could list so many examples we've seen in the world throughout history where people have shown up and said, "I'm doing the will of God," and then they've done something absolutely terrible with that. We think about examples from history, like groups of people who have been enslaved or marginalized. We think about things happening in our world today where groups of people are treated terribly and people wave their faith as a banner, and it feels really heartbreaking and confusing. And it's not always quite that serious or consequential, but when people misuse this idea of discerning God's will, it can just leave us with a really weird feeling and a bad taste in our mouths. When I was in college, I went on a mission trip to Northern Ireland for a couple of weeks. And we were working with an organization that was deeply rooted in their community, which meant they had a lot of connections in the town that they were in. And they were just this very hospitable, open-hearted organization, and there were lots of people in and out over the 2 weeks that we served there. About halfway through our time, this guy joined our group, and he very immediately and assertively let us know that he was there as a prophet for the Lord. And he was there to let us know and to let all of Northern Ireland know what God's will was for them. Now, at first, we worked to be very patient and inclusive with him because we realized we're this group of Americans. We're in a different culture, a different country. Like, we don't want to be those people that are shoving people away. But I have to say, as the days went on, he got very rude about the whole thing. Like, this guy knew everything about every subject, and if you had a dissenting opinion, he would say, "Well, the Lord told me." And this was true from everything. Like, we had a lot of time in the van. If you've been on a mission trip, you spend a lot of time in the van. And so we would just be driving around. We'd be talking about pop culture, and he'd be like, "Actually, you're wrong. And God told me that you're wrong." We would talk about politics. That was a great idea. And he had lots of opinions on that. He even had opinions on the weather. Now, it was actually the weather that ended his time with us. So I remember on this day, all morning, this guy had been walking around the house we were staying in, and he was like, "It's going to rain today. The Lord has told me it's going to rain, and you need to pack your rain gear because today it will pour around 1 o'clock. Friends, okay, had he been right, this would not have been impressive. It was Northern Ireland. It rained every single day we were there. But he boldly predicted this message from God, and this is one of those moments I believe God must have a sense of humor, because it was sunny all day long. And your pastor is, I will confess, petty enough that I delighted in that sunshine for so many reasons. Now, I didn't say anything because I'm not that petty, okay, just internally petty. But someone in our group did, and they called him out, and they're like, "Maybe you're not a prophet after all." Right. You can imagine he did not appreciate that feedback. And so he kind of moved on from our group after that, and we wish him well wherever he is today. But I think about stories like that. And then I think about, of course, the much more serious and consequential examples from our history. And I guess I can very easily understand why talking about discerning God's will can feel pretty tricky to a lot of us, why it can be a really difficult thing for us to trust. And because it's so difficult to inherently trust our ability to sense the will of God, and because things can go sideways so easily when we claim that we're acting out of that will, having some foundational beliefs can really help us with this practice. I think we need to know what we believe about God's character and how God works in order to effectively engage the practice of discernment at all. Now, my giant disclaimer for this message is that my job today is not to give you an exhaustive list of everything you need to believe about God so that you can discern. I can't do that for you. But I do want to give you four places to start. I want to give you four beliefs that my hunch is some of us might find to be a little bit challenging. We might have things tied up to these beliefs that feel limiting, that make it difficult to engage with this vulnerable and I think tender spiritual practice. So the first core belief I want to talk about today that feels so important for us to hold as we try to discern is the idea that God is good. Now, okay, I know this one seems so obvious. We say things like, and this is audience participation moment, okay? We say, God is good
all the time.
All the time. Oh, it's so fun in church. It's so fun in church. And then I go to the world and I watch the news and I have interactions and my heart breaks and I know in my head this is true, but internalizing it, holding on to it, can feel like the most difficult thing we get to do. In fact, Ruth Haley Barton says in her book, Pursuing God's Will Together, she says this about it. She says, many of us don't believe in God's goodness enough to trust God with the things that are most important to us. We may have suffered things for which we blame God. Perhaps God disappointed us when we trusted God with something important. How can we give ourselves to someone who we're not sure will be good to us? I think about my own religious past and how for so many years I was in church spaces where the overwhelming narrative was so counter to the words on this screen. The overwhelming narrative wasn't about God being good. It was about God being angry, God being vigilant, God being this person that waited for me and everyone I knew to mess up so that God could punish us. I don't know that we articulated this, but it was the undercurrent that there were more people going to hell than that were going to heaven, and we needed to be very afraid. There was so much fear and shame in that view of God, and so even declaring something like God is good, it felt like it came with 1,000 asterisks next to it. In reality, God was scary. God was demanding. God was supposed to be trusted, but God wasn't exactly safe. You know, for me, it took a lot of study and time getting in the Bible and not just hearing what someone had told me, but actually reading those things for myself. It took a lot of therapy. It took a lot of hearing about other people's experiences and how they'd encountered the goodness of God to understand just how good God is and to start to untangle that belief. I guess what I want to say to you is I know that there are many of you in here that are either still carrying this narrative with you today or you're so close to it that you bump into it all the time. And if you're here and you're like, Mindy, I don't know what you're talking about. I think God's great. That's no problem. I want to let you know you're with people that have had those experiences. And one of the greatest gifts we get to do as a community is create spaces of empathy and safety where we can work out these views of God and we can encounter God in a new and better way. One of the things I think is so amazing is when we get to be these living examples of God's goodness and kindness. You know, I think about that video we saw of Stephen ministry and how when people show up for each other when they are in the worst seasons of their lives, think about what that communicates. Think about the story that tells of who God is and how God works. When we show up for each other like that, when we do things like tell the truth with love or have a hard conversation or just forgive someone, God's goodness is on display there. And that goodness can open doors for people to see God in ways that they never expected before. The second core belief is that God is revealing. The passage we read from 1 Corinthians 2 says that we have God's Spirit with us, and that it's through that Spirit that God reveals to us wisdom and discernment. Now, one thing you may know about me is I always love talking about how mysterious God is. I do. I think it's amazing that we can't understand everything about God and that there is this mystery to this God we worship. But I want us to remember that God is more than just that mystery. God is also relational. God is deeply loving. God is present with us in every season of our lives. I think about the conversation that Jesus had with his disciples when he was getting ready to leave them for good, and how he tells them that, yeah, I'm going to be gone, but you're going to have God's Spirit with you. You're not going to be alone, even though you're going to go through this really significant time of change and grief. Jesus wanted them to know that his Spirit would be with them, guiding them, nudging them, showing them what to do next, and that they'd encounter the Spirit in quiet times of prayer, in listening to their intuition, and as they lived in community with each other. I think Jesus wants us to know that too. We have that Spirit with us. We all experience that Spirit in different ways. I know for me, it often comes from the people in my life, but for you, it might look differently. But however we experience God's Spirit, whatever it takes for us to notice, I want you to know that it's at work. Because when I think about how God works, God might be mysterious, but God isn't like a trickster. God's not trying to send us off on a path that makes no sense. God's never out to harm us. God's walking with us, guiding us, giving us nudges and glimpses to help us discern what we should do and where we should be. As we follow those glimpses and nudges, I think this is when it's so important for the third core belief we're going to talk about. To be present with us. And that's that we would remember that the love of God is our ultimate call. This one feels important to me because to me, this is the big picture that all of the little details, all of the decisions, they all exist within this. Now, look, I'm someone that loves a plan. I would love to tell you every single thing that's going to happen from here through the next 5 to 10 years and then just do that thing. That sounds really comforting and wonderful to me. We can't do that. Sometimes we feel lost when we can't do that. But I think when we're existing in this, I'm not sure we can really go the wrong way. I'm not sure we can really mess it up if this is what we're trying to live out of. I want you to listen again to what it says in 1 John. It says, "Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and God's love is perfected in us." as we love each other, God's loving nature, God's goodness, God's ability to reveal God's self, it all gets made real. And if we're chasing that love and we're doing everything we can to live into those pieces of God's nature, I think we're going to be okay. I think we're going to be on the right path. Reverend Lizzie McManus-Dial has a book of devotions. It's Beck's copy, but I brought it with me. It's called God Didn't Make Us to Hate Us. And I guess I would recommend it to you if these things, these beliefs we're talking about, you're kind of like, oh, I don't know where I am with this. Like, this is hard for me to internalize and digest. This is a great resource for doing some of that work. It's also a great devotion as we come into Lent because there's 40 of them. So it works out really well for that season. But she talks about this passage in 1 John, and I wanted to share with you her words because I think they're so helpful. She says, "Sometimes God feels like a blanket that envelops me and the world and everyone I encounter. Like the exposure settings are both over bright and perfectly warm, like I can see everyone and everything in our threads of connection. At other times, the despair is enormous. God can feel far away or impossible to grasp. And when we cannot feel that love, when the despair is too much, when we're full of rage that God could let this happen, our task is maybe not to love God in some big, holy, sky-reaching praise, but to love the people God gave us right here. Love them imperfectly, but love them. Love ourselves, and let this love ground us. Because that love is saying, I am with you always, even here, even now." I'm going to share one final thought as we get ready to wrap up today. Now, I don't have a foolproof multi-step process to ensure that we are following God's will. So if that's why you came here, so sorry, you're going to leave empty-handed. But I guess what I do know, what I've experienced, and I hope you have too, is this. As we do God's will, we inevitably experience God's presence. Jesus says in that passage out of Mark 3 that whoever does God's will is his sibling. And there's this closeness that we experience with God when we're in tune, when we're discerning, when we're loving others and working to follow God's leading. That doesn't mean our lives are going to be easy. It doesn't mean we won't have heartbreak. It doesn't mean that there aren't things we won't have big, difficult questions around. But what it does mean is that we're going to experience God's presence. We're going to experience God's nearness. We're going to experience God's hope. And so my encouragement to all of us today is when we sense that nudging, when we sense just that little flicker of curiosity, that we would follow it, that we'd be brave enough to take that next step and expect that God's going to show up in the midst. Robin Chaddick attends the North Indy campus, and if you were at the Soul Care retreat back in 2025, she was the keynote speaker at that retreat. She told Pastor Rob a story last week that I wanted to share with you as well. She said that she recently became involved in a prison ministry where she goes and teaches classes. She's not obligated to do it. It's not part of her job. It's just something she felt the Spirit nudging her to do last year. And not too long ago, one of the people in her class who had been kind of skeptical about her, he finally came up to her after one of her sessions, and he just said, "Why are you here? Like, what are you doing?" And so she looked back at him. She was pretty caught off guard by such a bold, direct question, and she just told him the truth. She said, "I felt like God called me to serve you all in this way." She said it was really interesting after that conversation, because she watched the dynamic change between her and some of the students. There was like a new sense of ease in the room. There was an openness to each other. There was a de-escalation of some of her own tension and fear that she brought to that context. As she followed the direction that God was leading her, she got to experience God's presence show up again and again. And I would say that others got to encounter that presence through her, just by showing up and serving in the ways that she felt called. So I just wonder today, and I'm going to invite the band to come up as I leave this thought with you. Which of these beliefs that we talked about might you want to spend just a little bit more time with this week? Which of these beliefs might need some tending for you? Because there's something limiting in there that's getting in the way of discernment. However you answer that is going to be so personal to you. And if you ever want to talk about that, I would love to do that with you. But however you answer that, here's what I always, always want to remind you of. God is faithful as we wrestle with these things. God is faithful in our questions. God is faithful in the spaces of our faith that feel like they can't be worked out, or the circumstances of our lives that just feel like they're so messy and like a dead end. God is faithful. And for all the work that we do all of it on this foundation of that faithfulness. And that faithfulness is something that each and every one of us can trust with our whole selves and our whole hearts. Let's pray together. God, my prayer today is simple. And it's just that you would meet us with your faithfulness in any place that we need it. God, we may be someone who is on the cusp of a big decision, and it feels so scary. It feels like taking that next step is more than we can even imagine. God, would we sense your faithfulness in those moments? God, we may be discerning something that's small but significant. I pray your faithfulness would be with us in those moments. God, we might be discerning how we view you, what it means to have faith. God, would your faithfulness be with us in those moments? God, your faithfulness doesn't fail us. It doesn't let us down. So help us hold on to you and to that belief. Amen.